Welcome to the Art Burrito Podcast with Jason Wilkins. Life, art, marketing, and all the deliciousness in between. Here we go.
Okay, we're recording. It worked. Yay. Hey, everybody. This is the Art Burrito Podcast. This is episode number 32. And before the COVID thing, we were doing it. I was doing it like trying to do it like once a week-ish. And then I really missed it. Having people in and just talking about whatever. And it's funny how that time, like, I don't know, went by like that for me. It seemed like it. Because now you look back, you're like, COVID started March. So we're what, 7 months in? 6 months? Yeah. And was home with Callie the whole time. And and then working in here at night. So it's just nice to have people back in. And I appreciate you guys coming in. Mike and Shelby Watt are here. And we're just going to talk about kind of what's going on downtown here, where you guys might think retail is going in the next little while, as far as like if there's going to be a major shift or because COVID, because you guys already put stuff in place, you're pretty quick on it as far as building it into the website and making it easier for people to grab stuff. So why don't we start? I always have people do like their origin story. So like, if you talk, you can go as far back as you like. I know you, Mike, you've been on, but you can do that again for sure. And just where you're from, where, how you guys got started, stuff like that.
Well, you go ahead.
Whoever wants to go first.
Well, I've already done. That's what I'm.
But these listeners.
Oh, you need
it. These listeners may not know.
Do you want me to do both? Do you want us to talk about where you and I started as a group, as a couple?
Or I give your bio?
Do it like the dating show?
Yeah, you should do that.
You give the answer and does it right or wrong?
Okay. Mike is from Sarnia.
Okay. And sorry, this is going to be annoying, but if you can bring it kind of close-ish to you. There you go.
Like this?
That's better.
Hi. My background, let's see, do the condensed version. I'm a townie.
Woo-woo.
Yep.
Really? Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Not born here, but raised here.
Yep.
So, and in Bridge North, so I still think I get townie status.
Yep.
Went to high school here, left, because if you're raised in Peterborough, you end up having a love-hate for Peterborough.
Yep.
So you think you have to run away. Did the mass exodus out west like you do, lived there for a year, went to Toronto, came back after a year in Toronto at Ryerson,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't really pan out.
What did you take there?
Travel and tourism.
Okay, yeah.
So I was always, I had two sort of channels for schooling of interest. One was fashion, for sure, and then the second was travel and tourism for the love of traveling. But at the time, the fashion courses were really focused on design, and the idea of being a buyer wasn't really talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I would not be a good designer.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's not where my skills lay. So
yeah.
I was intimidated by the program. So I went to travel and tourism, and I liked Toronto a lot more than going to school. So that didn't work out. And then I came back, went to Fleming for travel and tourism. And I always just wanted more. I love learning just people and trends. And that's
yeah.
always been an interest. And so I went to Trent for sociology and sort of learned about this concept of like the cool hunter and the trend searcher. So that's always kind of been within my passion. And long of the short, Mike opened up a shop. Should I tell the story about when I would go in? I'll leave it and then I'll jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Mike opened up a store called Flavor. And my work experience had always been in retail
mm-hmm.
and clothing. and some other odd jobs like construction and pumping gas, but it always ended up with retail.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I'd go into the shop and Mike had just opened, and I remember I went to the change room and I was like, why don't you have hooks in here? And he's like, well, these are hooks, and they're these like circular metal things. And I'm like, well, I can't hang a coat or a bag on it. And he's like, oh, well, that's not what I thought they'd be for. And I'm like, well, you should have that.
Yeah.
And then remember all the stickers? You had all those stickers on the floor because they just kept falling off your tags. And I'm like, you should have a tagging gun. I'm like, did you want a job here? I was like, yeah, sure. I've done lots of retail.
Yeah.
And then how many years later? 20 years later? Mm-hmm. Today's our anniversary too.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Oh, and cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Thank you.
So Publican normally sponsors, cheers everybody, does sponsor the podcast, but it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, so we're not going to go there yet, but we do have mimosas and coffee, which is fine.
Delicious. That's
good. Yeah.
That's my bio.
Excellent. And I love that part about like not really finding it. Like you always went back to it. And I did that for years, like after I graduated from art school, because you do whatever you have to do. And my son was so young at the time, I was like, okay. So I worked call center for 10 years. And then, yeah, you just always, when it's a passion, back forth until it clicks, right?
100%. Yeah. And you know it's there. And sometimes you just don't know how to find it or grab onto it because it's not the traditional path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And again, it was supposed to be school for the traditional path. And I remember I looked at I think it's called the Academy of Arts in Toronto.
Yeah.
It was 40 grand for the year. And when I looked at the job postings to see what would come of it, and it was like manager of the gap. And I'm like, I could just be the manager of the gap eventually. Like I could work towards that.
Yeah, you put in the time and then you can get that. Yeah. Right.
So yes, I've always kind of talked about my background as not really floundering, but it feels like it when you're in it, right?
Sure.
There's something you should be doing.
Yeah, and it's so uncomfortable too.
It is really uncomfortable.
When you're not in it, when you so badly want to be in it, and it's just,
100%, yeah. And as I was saying with travel and tourism, I loved the idea of traveling and engaging with people on that level, but I saw the writing on the wall because it was of a certain age where the internet was just coming about.
Yes.
And I was like, the travel agents aren't going to be here in 10 years. So I went to university just because, again, just the love of learning.
Yeah.
And Mike was already established in Peterborough by that time.
By the time you were in university?
Mm-hmm. Because you went the traditional path.
Yeah.
In the sense of like, you went to school, you did your thing, the exodus of some.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I did the like, I got my degree and then was like, well, what do I do with this thing?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so many
people do.
Oh, geez.
I didn't get trained in anything.
Yeah.
And I focused a lot early on in my career now. Like I get asked to go and talk at like schools and university and colleges and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why, but I do.
Because you've built you built a lot of good stuff.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, when I go in, when I start with like really young kids, I really focus on them saying like, you don't have to do the traditional path. Like you don't have to do the university and the this and the that. Like, your job does not have to be defined by teacher, you know, doctor, lawyer, electrician. Like you can, be an electrician. Actually, that's a very well paying job right now. But it like you can build your own thing and be your own person. And I think like you were saying with, you know, you worked at a call center, but you knew your art was there, and you're graduating art school. There comes a time when you flip a switch where you learn to monetize.
Yeah,
and you figure out, how can I make money doing what I like to do?
Yeah,
as opposed to just making money and hating it.
Yes,
and I think that's a big moment for a lot of people where the switch flips and they go,
oh my god,
a second, this can be my job.
Yeah, like no way.
But
yeah.
In school, you're taught, okay, you go to university or college, you get trained in this, and then here's your job that you could come out with after.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And
I just don't think that traditional or conventional way of
doing
things, if you're not coming out with specific training,
it got so bad for me that, I was at the call center. It's now GM Financial. It was AmeriCredit. So I was like, okay, steady pay, whatever benefits. And then it was like that, and it was 10 years. I'm like, what? And then I reached a breaking point where I actually just got up and kind of left. It was like, I just took my, and I had nothing.
I did the same thing.
Did you?
Yeah. I had a government job. We, you know, the golden handcuffs.
Lisa over there, Couture Candy. She had an amazing job, up and gone. Like, just because, like her, I reached a breaking point where I just, and I had zero. I had no jobs lined up, which maybe wasn't super smart looking back, because you should maybe have a little something.
No, but desperation leads, it can lead you down a different path that if you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
And the desperation will help you find that path a little quicker.
Yes.
It might not be the right path right away, but you're going to go down so many wrong ones.
Yeah.
You gotta be hungry.
You'll eventually find the right
path. Yeah. It's the whole burning the ship or burning the bridge thing. Like, if you don't have anything to go back to, then that's sometimes a really good thing. So, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. So keep going with your story.
Oh, I would just say I finished university and then came out of it and thought I'll go into nightclubs or bars because I was DJing.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the lifestyle was pretty hard on you. And
yeah,
I realized that pretty quickly. So I after school, I only did it for maybe a year. And
yeah.
And I went, oh my gosh, I can't do this.
Like, yeah,
doing it full time all the time with always having school was like, well, I've got school and I won't party too hard tonight because I got to go to school tomorrow. But when you don't have school and then every night's a Saturday night and your job is to create a party for people.
What are you going to do?
It's a slippery slope.
And then people expect you to be part of that party.
Oh, for sure they do.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, like I loved it. Like, I'm a music nerd. I still am.
Yeah.
But I just knew that it was.
As you know, I am not.
A career path. Well, no, but you listen to music all the time.
I do.
Like,
yeah.
I love it. I just have this, like, I don't know. I've always been into it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I still am searching for bands and I still build playlists and I still do like weird stuff that I did as a DJ that I probably don't need to do anymore, but I still do.
Music is I need it. Actually, I need it when I do my mural stuff. Yeah. If I don't have it, it gets awkward for me to be up there doing it. It's like it flows through and kind of happens through music. So
I have music on for everything. Like,
oh,
the
yeah.
minute I wake up,
yeah,
as soon as I get home from work, all day at work, like, it's on.
I actually need noise. I think I have a problem. I need noise. Even when I go to sleep, I need noise. I need white noise. And it always has to be there. So maybe that's a mental illness. I don't know.
I wouldn't say that. Maybe it's just you're used to having people around you.
I don't know what it is, but it drives my wife crazy. She's like, just open the window. Like, this, it's fine. You don't need a fan on.
You don't want that noise. You don't want screaming.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyway, I finished university and then finished that. And then in 99, I opened Flavor.
Yeah.
And then in 2001, I opened Plush, which was like an extension of Flavor that we kind of tested. And then 2006, I opened SOS.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got married in 2006. And I think B left her job in 2007 or 8 and came back with us. And then in 2019, I think we opened...
Yeah.
No, 2018, we opened Providence. So we kind of took Plush apart, separated the men's and the women's.
Yes.
And we decided to open two separate footprints, one for women, one for men.
Yeah.
And open Providence and then expanded SOS.
Yeah.
So it's.
Had a child in 2012 and then had two at once in 2014.
Yeah, we did that too. Yeah.
Which did that too.
Like, I was like, I was kind of like, what was in the gap there?
Snuck that one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From 2008 to 2018. I was like, what's the gap?
Full time job and then I'd go to the shop and work
afterwards.
Because that's what you do. Again, with that passion, you find time to do it.
Yep.
So I'd work 8 to 4 and then 4 to 8. And and then I was repping. I was a shoe rep for a while. So just always kind of within the fashion industry, because I remember when Mike had opened, I had started working for him. I don't know if it was 6 months or a year, whatever. It was relatively new into it.
Yeah.
Mike's like, do you want to go on a booking trip with me? And I was like, yeah. You know what? I think I'd be really good at that, actually.
Yeah.
She's never lacked confidence.
No.
I could do that.
I could do that. Yeah. No, I'd be good at that. But again, that was always my path. I knew I wanted to be a buyer, but that job didn't exist. It doesn't exist in a small town.
Like, yeah. So the fashion thing for me is really interesting because I don't really have any kind of fashion sense. I just kind of like go with what I think fits right and looks okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. If it feels good, then I'm happy. Is it like an intuitive kind of thing? Like for me, when I'm doing my art stuff, it's like a puzzle, like especially the mural stuff. It kind of just comes together. And then you look back, you're like, oh, cool. I did that. That's neat. For you guys, like, I know you have some training in it and as far as what to look for and stuff, but what is it like when you're like there looking for what's next or what you put in your stores or stuff? Like, how do you know what's going to be something?
I have zero training.
Oh, I thought you said you did. When you went back to school, it was something. Oh, okay.
I went back to travel and tourism.
Okay.
I was always too scared to say, no, I'm going to be a part of, like, officially of the,
okay, so that's
the
even,
fashion scene.
Right. So that's even more interesting. So,
yeah,
like,
And then again, Mike had opened up the shop. And I've always worked retail. So, yeah, just as a part time job, full time job, it was always just, I've been drawn to clothing.
Yeah.
And customer service in that world. And Mike opened up his shop. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would say from just like more of the cultural, like, you created a shop, not just for your love of clothing, but for music and the scene. And
it was
all encompassing.
The whole idea.
Okay. So the lifestyle thing.
The whole idea of 20 years ago was to be a lifestyle store.
Yes.
Like, we've only actually come to fruition with it, with Providence in its full form.
Yeah.
But that.
By the way, anyone outside of Peterborough, Providence is like, my favorite place.
Yeah,
I love it so much. I've said it before. I just love it so much.
Yeah, you know what's funny is like it's the culmination of 20 years of my idea of what I wanted it to feel like. But
yeah,
unfortunately, you got to put the work in first. You can't just open with it like that and have it be fully stocked and have it be able to stock the bar and pay a barber and pay all these pay all these people, because you have to have the clientele first to support it.
Yeah.
You have to know the clientele's there.
So Flavor kind of gave you that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Flavor did. And Northern. Flavor was, I opened with $3,000, right? Like,
wow.
I bought sample boxes from people.
That's so amazing.
When we go and look at clothes, they have samples.
Yeah.
Everything's a medium.
Yeah.
You get to see it and feel the fabric. And if you happen to be a medium, you can try it on, which I've never had the luxury of being that.
Right.
But it would have been very helpful through all this.
But if
you're a medium, you can try everything on.
Yeah.
So when I opened the store, I didn't know that you actually had to pre-book your clothes. So right now we book a year in advance.
Okay.
So whatever, like right now, we're booking for next summer right now.
Okay.
Which is a terrifying process because of what just we've gone through with COVID and having to close for a quarter of the year and switching to online, and all of a sudden you're forced to kind of make all these new decisions that we've never had to make before, but we still have to forecast a year in advance and kind of go, well, I think this trend is going to be really big, and I think this color is going to be really big, and I think, you know, the city will want this kind of vibe, and the customer will dig it, and I'm hoping there's no more pandemics, right? Like, that's so booking that far out, you know, I didn't know we had to do that. So when I first opened, I think it was $3,500, because I spent $1,000 on building the space.
Yep.
And it was absolutely not, like, it was a coat of paint, there was some drywall on the walls,
yeah,
we did a bunch of stuff, and
yeah,
then no hooks. And then I bought sample sets from everybody.
Enter Shelby with the hooks.
We you know, I did samples from people. So people come in and they would go, why is everything a medium?
Right.
And I'm like, it's all I could buy. Like,
take it or leave it.
I bought them for nothing. And basically for 15, 20 years, all I did was anything I'd sell, I'd rebuy and try and build the inventory up.
Yeah.
And had enough that we could build a second store, and then enough we could build a third store. And it's just been a reinvestment process for 20 years.
That's so important for people to hear that too. I think a lot of people, when they make money in a business, they spend it, like, not in the business itself, but they just throw out spending it. Right. And, that's what I've learned even just recently, like, just start dumping the money back into the business. Yeah. And then it just snowballs. And the same with, we were talking about when we put out work, or you put out a new line or something, someone sees that, they're like, yeah, we have to drop by, we have to, and then it just one after the other, it just grows, right?
Well, that's what we did in 2012. I was like, I did something else in there too. We had kids, Northern Originals.
Northern Originals at the same time. Yeah.
Was that only 2012? It feels like it's been around for so long.
Yeah, I think it's like we're at eight years now.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Like it's
wow.
So Northern Originals was then, yeah. Cause that was basically like that took a long time to
I can't remember the last time we talked. What was the catalyst for that? Like what was like, oh, was it just an idea or
yeah, like I went to So I got taken to New York by New Era to be a part of this, like, I don't know what you called it, like just a brand exploration,
right.
Like where we were there to like look at their fabrications, look at the models that they have in hats, see if we could bring some out from archives, see what we could do with logos and patterning and how we would put things together. We worked with their design team for a weekend. And they put us up in a hotel and took us to a hockey game and out to restaurants and parties and all this stuff. But then we were there working 8 hours a day in their studios designing stuff.
Yeah.
And we met a guy there who was building stuff on the West Coast, and he had just started it. And he's like, yeah, I'm just starting this thing and I'm going to build it out to be like Vancouver's
thing.
Like, oh yeah, cool. And I was there with Brian Reed, who you know, we drove back at the time and we were like, I bet you we could do that for Peterborough. And so we started drawing stuff the minute we got home. And the process was like, I draw it and then I would give it to Brian and he would digitize it. But Brian isn't a graphic designer,
right?
So we could only go so far with it,
right?
You know, and thankfully we've met a lot of artists along the way now that we've worked with that can help us bring to life the things that we come up with.
But,
it was that's just so that cool. That process of going and being around people that are creative and being around people that inspired us. And then we got inspired enough to be like, we could do that.
Yeah.
And it took baby steps, you know, like we put out 5 designs on, I think it was like either Canada Day or May 2-4 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had kind of ranked them.
Yeah.
So we were like, this is going to be the number one. This is number 2. This is number 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
And we were like, we will reproduce once we see, we'll get a read on it.
Yeah.
And maybe they sell, maybe they don't. So we put them out. It goes crazy right away. But number 5, the one we liked the least, is the core crest that we ran for like 8 years.
Really?
Yeah. And we were like,
wow.
It was the one that we had the least confidence in, that we were like, it's good. I think it's okay, but we liked the other stuff we were doing better.
You can go anywhere and see it.
It's
insane. Like you can go, it must be neat to be like out there and just like, oh yeah, there, that's cool.
Yeah, we've been at airports in other countries.
And I've been in Toronto. when I was working for the Jays before COVID. See people walking around. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome.
It's cool too. We've seen it on TSN a bunch of times.
Like hockey
players and. Different guys doing interviews wearing them. And I'm like,
that is incredible.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Back to the point I was making about that love hate with Peterborough. No matter where you go, you're going to meet somebody from Peterborough.
Yes.
Like I find anytime you travel, like I've been in Amsterdam and the pig's ear. Like you just.
Yes. Anytime I'm at an event or doing anything, people are like, oh, I went to school there. Oh, usually it's went to school there. Or yeah, my, you know, my grandma lives there. My sister lives there or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. That's a key point too for anyone who's impatient right now, like trying to like just make something happen overnight. It is so worth it, isn't it? Like it takes so long.
Yeah.
And then when stuff comes to fruition like that, like it's an insane feeling.
It's a long process, but you have to build you have to remember what the core foundation of your business is, which is customer service and building your clientele, right?
So
we've spent 20 years building a customer base.
Yeah.
And now when we try different things, introduce new services, introduce new products, do things like that, we have an audience that trusts us and believes in what we tell them because we've been loyal to them and and told them the truth for 20 years.
Yeah. Same as with SOS. And like my wife can go in there and she knows she's going to get something awesome and it's good quality. I went in and got this yesterday because I need a new t-shirt. I'm like, where am I going to go? Of course I'm going to go there. Because you know that how it feels and you know how it's going to fit. And that's so important, especially now where you're like, you can order anything, like boom, boom, boom. So many ads on Facebook. Oh, just buy this. And you don't know what you're going to get. You have no idea. And yeah, it's just awesome.
And hopefully, I mean, the funny thing is when we did go online, when we switched during the lockdown, we went online, we found that most of the orders coming in were local orders.
Yeah.
So it was still people that wanted to buy from us.
Yes.
And people that wanted to, I think they still believed in the products we were carrying and knew that what they were getting, they tried before, and they knew that we would help them out if it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's that trust comes in again. But that took, like, it's taken us 20 years to build that, right?
Yeah.
We have amazing people. I always say that. We have amazing, amazing people.
Yeah.
Our customers, I call them customers, clients. I just call them people. They're our people.
Yeah.
They've supported us over the years.
Yeah.
And it's really remarkable. I think it's a pretty neat thing. Honestly.
Yeah. I have to say, I don't know how many male followers you have, but I really enjoy your stuff. And like,
I always want to apologize.
No, it's so like, I really like it. And especially the kid aspect of it, because we all, you know, that's a shit show a lot of the time. But really, really enjoying that. And my wife and her friends. And so like, was that like a conscious thing? Because you kind of came on, I don't know if it was, maybe I'm just out of the loop there, but I came at a certain point where you were doing it for a little bit, I think. But it hasn't been that long since you've been kind of more present on social media, like live anyway.
Since the babies, like after the twins.
But
well,
I feel
I think it's like anything. I've been at it for a long time, but until you hit your stride, you might not.
Yeah. I feel like you ramped it up a little bit.
Definitely.
Probably just over.
Shift.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had an Instagram account for how old's Clive? Like 10 years.
Yeah.
Same as Facebook, website.
It's
all been there.
Yeah.
But like anything, there's a shift, you know, either the focus has been, it was blogs for a while.
Yeah.
And then it was Instagram, and Instagram was just product.
Like, yeah.
Twitter, and they're all still relevant, but I mean, I love Instagram. I do. I say to people, and I know there again is that love hate, but I've curated mine where I get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Or else you wouldn't do it, right?
No.
Same.
Not at all.
Same. See, that kind of thing, being present in front of the camera, you have to know where your comfort zone is. Mm-hmm. It's not mine. I've tried it and it just comes off really bad. So
it was never mine. Ever, ever, ever.
Yeah. So. Maybe it's something I just have to try more, but I just don't. Yeah. I'm not there yet, maybe. But it comes off really genuine. And that's the worst thing. I hate that. Like, you can tell when someone's just, I mean, people aren't stupid. They know, like, when someone's out there doing it, just be, I don't know what they're trying to sell or be salesy or I don't know, whatever, when it comes off not authentic. And you definitely come off authentic. And I think that's great. Like,
well, it was Mike really who pushed me to do more in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So again, as far as Instagram, it started with product. This is what we got on the shop.
Yeah.
And then I took a backseat from the shop because of babies, and that tends to be what happens.
Yes.
But Mike also has always been the face of the shops. He started the shops. Mm-hmm. He's also comfortable.
Yeah.
On camera with a mic in front of him.
Yeah.
That's always just, again, to his background.
Yeah.
And I was home.
Yet so uncomfortable in front of phones.
Hmm?
I'm so comfortable in
if I would do a video. Like,
yeah. Same.
Like in an interview scenario, fine.
Yes.
Cameras, like video cameras, talking in front of anybody for anything.
Yes.
I'm fine on all of it.
And yeah.
As soon as you pull a camera phone out on me, I'm like,
I'm like, I think that's one of my main problems. Is I've tried that too, where it's like doing this and I just go blank. Like, I just can't do it.
I just
put
me in front of like a setup. I'm in.
Yeah. Okay, we're just going to take a quick break. Okay, we're back that fast. I had to bring this up. I think it's hilarious. So it was like during...
I'm nervous.
Maybe you should be, actually. It was during COVID. It was during COVID. You guys were having a chat about stuff. And you mentioned like you saw somebody with a Fitbit on. Do you remember talking about this? Yeah, you guys were like, but no, both of you. So you saw someone with a Fitbit on and they were out at a dinner or something. You're like, fuck. You're like, Jesus Christ. That what? Why the hell are they wearing a Fitbit out? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like,
yeah.
And then
yeah,
I'm,
that was me.
And then I'm like, oh yeah. Okay. But my point to that is when I'm out and I see certain things, like say there's a mural up somewhere, I'm like, well, you know, that's not quite right. Or like I would do this different. Not that I'm better, but you can notice stylistically and compositionally, you know, things have to come together, right? Do you guys, when you're out, like in scenarios like that, not necessarily like pick everyone apart, but are you kind of like, okay, because you're in it, right? So are you kind of like, oh,
it's more so to that story quickly, we were at a dinner and Mike has always been involved with Runner's Life, and mm-hmm. so and I have not mm-hmm. been active, and so we go to this party and everybody's dressed up and looking wonderful, but they have their running watches on, like
right.
their heart monitor.
Yes.
And in my head I'm like, but you're dressed up, like
right, so you should have,
so you should like take that off.
Yeah.
Or you'd put on a bracelet or like accessories.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
that is their accessory,
right?
So that, I mean, I was just laughing at that because it's again a different world.
Yes,
right,
for sure.
Different worlds.
So
and
that's,
you could go to a world. We went to a wedding owned by Goodfoot, and so everybody was in sneakers, like
right.
It's the world you enter into.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
So but to your point, I think really it's, we don't notice bad style, we're more apt to notice good. Like if somebody was walking down the street, I'd be like, oh yeah. But it's true, like it's,
I think there's so much bad fashion.
Like, oh,
it's a, it would be an endless pursuit.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck if
yeah.
we haven't, we're swearing,
oh absolutely,
right? Okay,
yeah.
Half a mimosa in. No, I mean, we've all left the house, just left the house to get out of the house.
Yeah.
But when you just see, and it's not usually somebody who's completely dialed in, it might just be a piece like, oh, that's a really, like,
right,
I loved her jacket.
Okay. Yeah.
Or,
yeah. Cause you're in, you're immersed in that world. So of course you would see that.
I'm totally like, if I see someone completely dialed,
yeah,
then I'm like, who, who's this?
Yeah.
I always notice them and I'm like, like the hair's right, the shoes right, the outfits.
So they,
right,
so they,
everything.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. Then you know that they are part of that.
We're always like, who's little, who's this?
Who's this?
So who's this?
Who's coming up? Yeah.
Right, which we love.
Yes.
And I mean, but we're not. I wouldn't say we'd like walk up to them and be like, hey, can we take your picture? Like we're not
no.
like that.
Yeah.
Call them out. Like they'd be in the shop. We'd be like, smell a wrap.
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
They don't want customer service at all, and they're like, you're like, oh, you're a shop owner too, like you're,
yeah,
you don't want people paying attention to you, you're just here to snoop around,
right?
You know,
yes,
we see a lot too.
Do you? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, and I think, yeah,
that's kind of
street level, right?
Like, yes,
we're on the level that a lot of companies look to for inspiration to go, you know, this level.
So that's a compliment too, then.
We can move and
yeah.
we can change and we can evolve quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas to turn a huge ship.
Yeah.
That's a huge endeavor.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And for
oh,
us,
yeah.
being small and being able to be nimble is,
yes.
is a huge benefit to us, that if something comes up like a global pandemic, we can pivot pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And change our whole focus.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we're allowed to go back to business, we go back to business. But now we have this other piece that's still available.
Yes.
To us, which now it's put more focus on for us, looking at it going, we know if there's a second wave or if people start getting locked
yep.
down again or start doing these things, that we have the infrastructure built to maybe handle it a little better than we did last time.
Yeah.
And streamline some of our processes and make sure that we're able to satisfy all the orders that come in.
Yeah. I've always been of that mind, sort of like to have multiple doors open. So that, like, if any of them shut down,
yeah.
then at least you have some more to go on, which luckily enough right now I'm experiencing a little bit of that, where I have a few open that I yeah. can still go down.
You're busy.
Yeah, it's been good. Been good. Well, it wasn't great, for of course, for a little while there, but it's it's ramping back up.
It did suck for everybody.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
It's going to suck for everybody.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. What did that What did that do to you guys mentally? Like, you know, aside from the business end of it, like, where were your heads going at the time when it all started?
It ebbed and flowed.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, right?
Like, yeah.
The first week was silence.
Yeah.
Like the first week it happened and we decided to close and we were like, I think the right thing to do is close because we were not seeing a clear directive from anybody.
Yeah. And I think at that point people were like, this could last a week.
Yeah.
Right. Like who knows?
A couple weeks, close down, whatever.
Yeah.
And when we made the decision to close, we announced it and we went, okay, I think this is the right decision, but we're going to try it. And you know what? You know, it might be the wrong decision. And then subsequently, I think 2 or 3 days later, everybody was shut down by the government.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the end, we made the right decision. But then that first week, we sat there watching the news.
Yep.
And I watched the entire Star Wars chain from 1 to 7 or 8, however many they are, with my son.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, I can't think about this yet because I don't have enough information.
Yeah.
So we would watch the news every day. We'd try and get as much info as we could and see where this thing was headed.
Oh shit. Yeah. Like I was home with Callie and she was on I was doing the lava game with her. Like we kept doing the lava. So I would draw the lava and like we did a live drawing thing on Facebook, her and I, and like, we were just killing time.
Right.
Like we were just trying to
I was worried for Mike because you stayed in track pants. That was worrisome. That concerned me. I turned to Instagram.
Yeah.
Because I knew.
Yeah. I think that's when I kind of dialed into what you were doing a little bit.
That's what I was saying. Like it's gone in different ways depending on what the marketplace looks like. But I have been fortunate enough with my Instagram to grow people. Like I've got this really cool collective online and I've always said to myself, the reason I sort of stepped in front of it is because I was experiencing, well, it's a bit of a long story, so I'll try and make it short.
Do you have any short stories?
No, the long version of the short story.
The shorter version of the long
story. So anyway, to the point of during COVID and the lockdown, I turned to Instagram because I knew if I was experiencing something, then other people were too. And I just wanted to step in front of it and let people know that I'm here crying, I'm here anxious, I'm here feeling all the emotions that you are. We're not alone in this. We are all together. And going back a few years, sort of the start of my Instagram voice, I guess, if you will, was I was home with Clive and I'm used to working a lot, being in the shop, being busy. I move at a really fast pace all the time.
Yeah.
And I was home and that was a really difficult transition for me. And then on top of that, I had postpartum depression and anxiety. And so that was really challenging for both of us, Mike and I, to deal with. And I just got to a point that I always kind of find it's weird to talk about because it's putting myself in a different light, but I think it's easy for people to say, to look at me and say, oh, well, she's got it all together. She's got this glossy job, handsome husband. we can really pitch our job, right? Like, oh, I'm flying to New York.
Don't worry about that one.
No, but we're like, oh, we're partying in Vegas and we're flying to New York.
Right.
That is part of our job.
Yeah.
For sure. And so it's like anything, especially with Instagram, you keep it real or you fucking fluff it up. And I've never been one to fluff it up. I'm like, no, what's actually happening is I'm crying constantly. This fucking sucks. It's so hard being a new mom. I feel alone. And so Facebook at the time was the platform.
That was it.
That was it. And I remember I had been writing because writing just makes me feel better. So I'd been writing. And then you were away. I don't remember where you were, but I wrote it and I made it public. And I remember texting Mike being like, oh shit, I did this. It went live. But I really think new moms need to know that this is a real feeling and it's okay. I'm feeling a little teary, so I'm going to drink some mimosa.
Do that.
And then honestly, that just kind of was the catalyst and it took off. Like Mike was getting personal messages from friends in high school and I never received, like it went off.
So is that also part of healing too? Like part of your healing?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I think again, the writing was one thing, mm-hmm. and then I had it, but I just, again, I wanted the women out there who could be looking into somebody else's life and be like, oh, she's got it.
Yeah.
We don't, as new moms, we don't have it.
That's so important because, like we were saying, there's so much shit out there where people just constantly like fronting about everything like they put up.
And oh, easily.
And it's just, it makes people feel lonely.
Yeah.
Like you look at that, you're like, oh, that doesn't make me feel good.
No. And like, then, so back to the point of the, during the pandemic when everybody was lonely.
Lonely.
I turned to Instagram and just yeah. like, no, like I am here, whatever that looks like for you.
Yeah.
And I'd wake up to like so many messages every morning
yeah.
of just people reaching out.
Yeah.
People are meant to be together. And so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say something, hey?
Yeah. At home, again, like everybody, like I went through something weird for sure. Something like, because I'm used to going as well. And then not being out of the house to work. I get physically itchy when I don't do something creative, like when I'm not making something or whatever. It's like withdrawal. So I will, if I'm not, I have to do something. So yeah, being home, like everybody else again, like it's just not. For some of us, it's just not our natural habitat. Like we just can't.
I dove into work.
Can't do it.
And Mike dove in. It was funny. We had a flip. Mike stayed home with the kids, and I.
Oh yeah, I was gonna work mode. I was gonna ask how you felt about being your model for the, because you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I like for years I've been kind of behind the scenes building social media for the company,
yeah.
going, this is how I want it to look and feel. And this is the kind of stuff that we want to shoot and the promotions we're running and the marketing we're doing, but I've never been the one actually in front of it. So I've always been the one saying like, okay, let's shoot this product today. Let's get it on model. Let's do this yeah. promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came down to like, okay, well, you're the only person that is here. And we have a menswear store. Then
set I'm up like, that camera. And
yeah,
then that's
like I
it.
Just set up a camera and start doing stuff. And I'm like, it's the weirdest thing to sit in a store by yeah. yourself, shooting yourself.
Yes.
My camera is a BlackBerry.
Listen, that's a whole other show.
Probably. Yeah, that's. I'm a bit of a preservationist.
I messaged you know? Shelby about that. It was a little while ago.
So many people did.
Did they?
Yeah, that was because yeah.
it was in the background. Yeah. It was just slightly in the background. And you're like this. I'm like, what?
Yeah. So many people. Yeah.
So that shows you how much I do. Like I did it while we were closed and I'm continuing to do it a little bit, but it's not my comfort zone. Like,
listen,
it's
that's not a bad thing.
It's not where I want to be. I want to be kind of helping mold it, but I don't think I'm the right representation of, I guess I am in terms of age and
yeah.
and that kind of thing for the store. But I just think that, I don't know. I like writing things down. I draw everything.
Yeah.
I'm thinking. I
yeah.
have paper when I'm doing all my stuff.
I still do that for my own notes because I need to physically do it.
I listen to records. I have a BlackBerry. Like I'm an old soul.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? And I know there's all this stuff at my fingertips. It's just not my interest.
Yeah. Social for me.
I still want to be like in the store in front of a person talking to them. And
yeah.
building a relationship with them to
yep.
know why they need a product from me and know why I can like give them the perfect product that they were looking for. And they might not have known exactly what it is, but when they leave, they're super happy with it.
Yeah.
I want that relationship.
Yeah.
Men and women,
and I don't seem to have that online. Like in an online store capacity.
Right.
I just don't get the click.
Yeah.
The click and purchase thing, which in desperate times we did it.
Well, again, that's what sets you. That's what sets you guys apart. Even sometimes is being present all the time. Like you know, people hire and then they go do whatever.
Yeah.
You guys are, I would say, 90% of the time there. Like if I'm ever walking by, I see you guys in there.
Yeah, one of us is here all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it did flip during the pandemic. Like Shelby has spent the last couple of years teaching herself.
Mm-hmm.
algorithms and online tricks and
yes.
text this and emailers and newsletters. And
yep.
she is constantly reading and learning and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
And during the pandemic, her site was very active. Her Instagram was very active. So we didn't even talk about it. We just naturally mm-hmm. flipped, and I would do breakfast for the kids. Then I'd do school with them. Then I'd take them out for a hike, or we'd go and play. And then we'd come back in and I'd do lunch. And then in the afternoon, I'd be like, okay, I actually have to look at something on my computer for a bit. So
yeah.
You have to switch me. So B would come in and she would go for a couple of hours with them. And I'd go down to the shop and pull orders and do stuff like that. So we kind of balanced it out, but for the most part, we completely flipped and I took care of the kids.
Yes.
Through it.
Yeah.
And it actually, I think, gave me perspective on a couple of things too, that I was like, well, I work 6 days a week and
yes.
I work 10, 12 hour days. And now I've just had 3 months of being at home and having six yeah. or 7 hours with the kids every day, or 8 hours with the kids. I was like, this is actually pretty awesome.
That's what I gained from it too, yeah. for sure, was that perspective. Like, I've always been really involved, but there's a next level of involvement.
Yeah. Well,
it's not involvement.
No,
it's enjoyment.
It's enjoyment yeah. as well. Right. Yeah. So I said to Heidi, even early on, I'm like, I'm getting to know Callie,
yeah.
like actually getting to know her. And like, you, cause you go and you come home and it's just a cycle.
But then the dad guilt comes in. You're like, wait a second. So what have I done for the last 7 years?
Listen,
I wasn't doing this.
Listen, I've said to Sam, who's 22, my oldest son, I've said, like, was I even there? Because my memory's horrible. I'm like, that. He's like, that. Yeah, you were around. Like, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah,
no, I don't remember anything. No,
we were
no.
talking about this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think that's just part of it. Like, now I'm trying to make more time away.
Yeah.
For the kids, where before I'd be like, no, I have to go to work from this time to this time.
Yeah.
And I was very rigid in my scheduling.
Right.
And I think since I've been very like, I'll come home and I'll pick the kids up from school and I'll take them out, or we'll go play somewhere. Like,
yeah.
Cause I want to continue to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was missing. I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We know. And now I don't want to miss it.
Yeah. And that's a good partnership. That's a good partnership.
SOS is growing. Like, we're at this, I don't want to say peak, but I'm not at the peak, but there's momentum right now. And oddly enough, momentum came out of COVID.
Right.
And
all great things do come out of times like this.
Yeah, and we've been saying that. Mike and I have been talking about that. Like,
I think there's awesome stuff
there's
coming.
There's great stuff coming, but
that we don't even know about.
No,
yeah.
That's how I choose to look at things. Yeah. Always, anything else is a waste of time. I moved studios to here, and then we moved our house too to East City. So it's like all in 1 month.
Oh my god!
So it was, but I'm like, why the fuck not? Like,
yeah.
If I'm gonna make a move, just do it, and then. Usually it's weird how if you make a decision and the universe kind of just like whoop, kind of just helps out a little bit. And
I'm a firm believer in the universe.
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, I am weirdly too. I don't know why. But...
I don't either, but I am. It's a thing. It's real.
I feel like to a certain extent it's real. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think you guys have to go.
Well, I can ask somebody to open up the store if you want to chat.
Sure. Yeah, no. If you guys want to hang out, I'm happy to. Oh, good. Okay, good.
Yep.
What else was on my list? Speaking of partnership. So, good personal partnership. Awesome. What about like how involved do you guys get in like each other's businesses? Do you bounce stuff off each other? Is that kind of an open thing or?
Yeah.
But then we also, it's everything. Like, there are the moments that we don't talk about it. Like, as we were saying with COVID, like, there was no discussion of like, okay, I'm going to work 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you're going to take the kids.
It
just fell into place. We
right.
just knew that's what needed to happen because SOS had.
We have a stronger digital footprint than the other stores do.
It was already in place.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Mike, as I had mentioned earlier, Mike was the one who pushed me to start doing video. I wasn't going to do video.
No.
I had no reason
We're
going to a trade show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was saying, I know I need to start doing video. Everybody's talking video. It's
yeah.
the next step, as we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's changed for business. It's video. I was like, what the hell am I talking about, though? Mike's like, well, you're going to a trade show right now. Like, that's neat.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool. Like, what are you going to do there? He's like, you're going to see 200 boots and pick five.
Yes.
Like, so then it just kind of grew. And then.
Do you know what
I've also realized?
Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, mm-hmm. I was just going to say, didn't realize, but he's like, your life is weird. Shit happens to me all the time. Like, just it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Because So we nicknamed Shelby Hurricane Shelby.
Right.
Because she kind of comes into a room and just like she leaves and everything is torn to shit. And you're like, holy crap. Like it's a storm that comes in.
Yeah.
It's got energy all the time.
So yeah.
I think as a result of having that energy and being out there on so many things, a lot of weird shit happens to her.
Yeah.
All the time. Like things that you'll be like, that can't actually be true.
And yeah.
You look, you're like, no, it's true. It actually did happen. It's not, it's so crazy. She has so many crazy, but it's likely the speed that she's going all the time.
Yeah.
Her mind and her body that probably gets her in these scenarios, but they always are pretty funny. And
yeah.
I think we just got to a point where I was like, everybody online and all of the algorithms and all of these things that we're seeing in, you know, articles that we're reading online and things that we're trying to learn, they're all pointing to say video or is going to be rewarded.
Yes.
So if you turn to video and it gives you a more opportunity to get your full message out, but it gives you, it presents the opportunity for people to actually see something and pick you apart.
Yeah.
So you've got to be willing to, to take the good with the bad on it. And Shelby's developed a real great relationship with it where her followers are insanely loyal to her.
I always think that too. I'm like, who wants to see me do, like, I don't know. I'll do like a, now because Instagram has reels, I really like that. Actually, it's doing really well for me, but like, I'll just do lines and start whatever. I'm like, who wants to see that? It's boring. And, but you don't realize like if I go way back to think about when I was coming up or whatever, I would have loved to see that kind of thing.
Totally.
Like, I don't know, like someone actually doing something cool on a wall that someone's hired them to do. Like that's it was a dream of mine when I was young. Yeah. So yeah,
people love
that kind of thing.
It's a hot mess.
Yeah. 100%.
Well,
they like seeing what's real. It's refreshing. It's actually refreshing, which is scary,
yeah.
But it is.
That was a clear distinction when you started too, was that we were talking about how, if you're going to put a voice out there, that it better be one that's different and stands out than everybody else's. And everybody else was showing the perfect moments of their lives on Instagram, and maybe not even their lives, just perfect moments.
Just perfect moments, yeah.
They were trying to show themselves involved in that maybe wasn't real.
Yeah.
And if you put something out that was completely authentic and true, and that it stood out because it wasn't shiny and flashy, and it was, you know, your kids pooing on stuff and
like
the real side of parenting that everybody's going through, they're just choosing not to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, that family photo where everybody's in a white sweater in a field and we're like, oh my God, we wouldn't have made it out of the car with one, would have his shirt off.
Yes.
Two, would have spilt something down it. And three, would have ripped the arms off it or something.
Or the door that's always, the front door that's always left open.
There'd be a squirrel in the house.
Like, I messaged the other day. I had taken the kids shopping for back to school. Nobody's left the house. I'm like, okay, we'll go. My anxiety can only handle Old Navy because I can park.
Yes.
And get out.
Yes.
And kick something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I guess.
It's crazy. I can't believe you go there.
I know. You're not a mom. You don't know.
I don't know how that is low anxiety. To me, like going into the mall, I get hives.
When you don't have to go in, that's the thing.
Well, you can go that other entrance.
You go the other entrance.
Doesn't
exactly.
Matter.
No.
Doesn't
matter.
You go in, you get out. Doesn't matter. Anyhow, let me finish my story. Cool. So this woman messaged me after the fact and said, I have to tell you, I got a message from my friend. She was at Old Navy and she messaged me like, oh my God, Shelby, I saw Shelby here. And her kid's not wearing a shirt. The other one's like running around.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Like it's,
you look like that, yeah.
No, it's not. It's good because I'm, and then I'll say, don't fight that battle. Like, I'm not going to have that battle with my kid if Archie doesn't want to wear a shirt.
Yeah.
I have bigger stuff to worry about.
Yes. Getting Callie out of the house, it probably takes me 25 minutes.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And when we stop caring what other people think too, then you're just like, then you can get the stuff done.
Well, that occupies too much of my brain. Like, it takes up too much bandwidth in there. Like, so I'm trying to get better at that even is like, who gives a shit? Like, I've got way too much other crap that I need to pay attention to. So, but that takes, it does take relearning and practice, I find. Like, just getting rid of even comment or anything on social media, that kind of negativity is just like trying to get rid of for sure. Yeah.
And it's there, but you, Like, it's that refocus part of looking at people that want to take the time to drag someone down.
Yeah.
And go, what is going on in your life?
That, yeah. Oh, no, it's sad.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
100%. If you're seeing someone trying to be promotional or be good or be, you know, explain what they're doing or show their craft.
Yep.
And you feel the necessity to tear them apart.
Yeah.
There's something different going on there that.
Oh, there's way more going on there. Who does that?
It's not your job.
Who even does that? Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's not your job to try and figure them out.
No, it's not.
They've got way bigger problems than you or I or Shelby could fix.
Yes.
If that's their motivation, you know?
Yeah, it's...
And you just kind of look at it, it's sad. And you just either delete it or move on. Like, who cares?
Yeah, that kind of thing can paralyze people, right? Yeah. Like, people just drop off the face of the earth when they get a couple bad comments because it's just... too much. Like, they feel like it's just too much, especially when you're going through what we're going through now, where people are already feeling like shit. So it's like,
it was nice when everyone thought the world was ending. Everyone was really nice online. Did you notice
that? I did notice that.
3 months, everyone was like, it was troll free.
I did notice that. And I also
post stuff and people were being like, super positive and embracing it.
Yes.
Stuff, because everyone was on their phones watching it.
Yes.
And then after 3 months of lockdown, they all came back.
Yeah,
so
it's like
now we're super trolls.
Yeah, when we were even lineups, like going through to the grocery stores, like people were being, oh my God, this is weird, but everyone's coming together. This is amazing.
People go in traffic. It's like Christmas Day when they let you in
the
traffic when you're sitting there waiting.
And then all of a sudden it became every man for themselves. Yeah. It was like, oh shit. Okay. That didn't take long.
I know. It's because everyone thought the world was ending.
So yes.
For 3 months when the world was ending, everyone was like, I better be nice just to clear up any misconceptions of what I was as a human.
Yeah, exactly. Brutal. Yeah. What else did I have going on here? I have written down, are you guys competitive? So I guess that's kind of open-ended. So with each other and in general, like kind of like.
Well, in general. Bouncing business things off one another. It's all kind of the same. So I think we're competitive. Not that I'm athletic, but if it was like a game, like a board game.
Okay. Yes.
But we love seeing each other win.
So it's kind of this fun back and forth sort of thing.
Back and forth. We'll take the piss.
Yeah.
And with business, I mean, we're always going to bounce ideas off one another. But then other times, no, like there's just stuff I'll run with.
Yeah.
And because I know it feels right.
Yeah.
And
it was funny the other day, you were poking fun at Mike about staying your own lane because he was trying to do.
That's one that we did just to like.
The unboxing.
Yeah. So we did that just to like. Mess with just to mess with.
Yeah.
Which I thought would be hilarious.
It was good. Yeah.
And it got the reaction we wanted, which is funny. I think there's some playfulness on there too. Like, I would say every day, if you are in business, you are competitive.
Sure.
It's just the nature of being an entrepreneur and being a, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you say your model is. There has to be some level of competition in your bloodstream because it's, you know, feed your family or don't.
Yes.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be better. Yeah. I want to do better.
Yeah.
That's drive.
Yeah. That's grit.
Yes.
You know, we're hearing a lot about grit right now, what that means for an entrepreneur. Don't laugh at me. I like podcasts.
Oh, do you listen to Joe Rogan? You a Joe Rogan fan at all?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm addicted, totally addicted. We're going to take another quick break. Okay, so we're back. Grit is... it used to be hustle, but that's been way overused.
Grind.
Yeah, but I like, but it all makes sense.
It all makes sense. It's all elements of being an entrepreneur, of having your own business.
And, yeah.
Mike and I think are good partners, business and life, because we complement each other. So yes, we're competitive, but we want to see each other excel. As I was saying, it was Mike who pushed me to video. He was the one who made the decision to put Plush to bed and grow SOS.
Yeah.
He saw the legs and I was like, oh, my little shoe store. It's yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he came to me. It was, I always tell the story because I find it funny. It was December 28th. I'm on the shop floor. Fucking busy.
Yeah.
And the space around the corner where Providence is now came up for rent.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, can I talk to you? And I'm like, not really. No. Like, what is that? He's like, the space came up. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it didn't even need to be a conversation. But again, as partners,
right.
Hey, I want to do this.
Yeah.
But you know, when something is so important to somebody, you're like, yeah, this is.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You have to build this store. This is your dream store. You absolutely have to do it.
Isn't it amazing to have that, though? Like, I'm very lucky the same. I'll do crazy shit. And Heidi's like, yeah, just do it. Like, just trust me unconditionally. Like, and being a freelance artist, that's saying a lot. Because it ebbs and flows like crazy. So that's what has allowed me to kind of keep growing a little bit, having that partner, right?
Absolutely.
It's so important. So important.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll end on... sort of what do you guys see as being like a sustainable brand? It's kind of a weird question, but I was trying to put it down on paper last night. Like, what do you think makes a good brand, I guess, is the question. And
honesty.
Yeah.
I think that's it. You can't build a brand without it. You have to present it in its 100% truth.
Yeah.
And feel it and know it. And if you don't, the consumer will sniff it out and they'll tell you it's not.
Yeah. And authentic to you too, right?
Like authentic to you. And I think that's it.
Like, yeah.
You've got to be the brand. So if you're not the brand.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, don't open an ice cream store if you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
You know?
True. Yeah, 100%.
The word that came to my mind was quality.
Yeah.
And not in terms of fabric, but just, you know, if you say to somebody, oh, they're a quality person.
Yes.
Quality guy.
Yes.
Then it does. It's their quality. Like, they have all the key elements. They're honest. They're authentic.
Yeah.
They're real. They're trustworthy. They're loyal.
And I feel like all the best things are built out of not necessarily, especially not at the get-go, having money in mind. Like, for me, it was never about that. It's a byproduct of it, right? Like, I have to feed and house and I have a family, but that only gets you so far. Even like, mm-hmm. if that's all that's on your brain, then it kind of stops. I feel like,
emotionally, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and figure out those, like, when you get into those scenarios, you want to look at it and go, I want to figure out. The first 5 years, I'm going to figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
The second 5 years, I'm going to try and figure out how to make a little bit more money
so
that I can grow.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then your next 10 years should be spent on, okay, now how am I going to take that money and reinvest it into something that can be my legacy
kind of
thing, you know? So I get the short-term thing of, you know, I'll sign a 2-year lease and hopefully I'm still there.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Look 2 years out, have a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Know what your goals are, but
but
know that in those moments, your first goal is survival.
Oh shit, man. I'm in trouble. I look like 2 months out.
And you know what? Some people can do it. And some people can do it. Some people can't.
Yeah.
There's no right way of doing it. I'm just saying my process and the way that I look at things.
Yes.
I look and I go, if I look back on my career in 20 years, that's what I survived the first 5.
Yes.
The second 5 I spent trying to figure out how to grow. And then the last 10, we've just spent trying to be like, okay, well, can we actually make some money and have a family and do some things with it? But it wasn't until year 10 that we actually could do anything. We bought a piece of shit little house and tried to fix it up and build a family and do that. It takes time.
I
think that immediate gratification piece that is very, very pushed in the media right now of what people are trying to achieve now and instant gratification. And
it's so out there.
It's so out there.
Oh my God.
So unrealistic. And I think it puts unfair expectations on people when they have a dream.
Yeah.
They have to know that they dreamt about it their whole lives.
Yeah.
It's not going to come to fruition overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, 20 years right here. 20 years.
And it's like what? To your success though, too, honey. Like, you're not, oh, I'm just going to open a store and see what happens. Like, you take calculated risks and you've played the long game and you've looked out 5 years and then you work backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just like happen overnight.
No. I have a vague idea if I were to look that far. Like, I want to have accomplished this, but as far as workflow and all that kind of thing,
I don't operate like you and I are the same.
I have, I'm just like kind of on what I'm doing now, and then that leads to other things. But yeah,
it's always the good balance too, right? Like, you and I, we balance well because of that. That I look at the long term goals of the company and the long term goals of where we need to be as a family and the things that we need to achieve to be able to have a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then the fine details is where B comes in and goes, well, I know how we can get here. Here's how we do it. And then the implementation and how we look at it and things like that, that's where B comes in with small details and thinks of those things that then brings it to my attention and go, yeah, like, she'll think of things that I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
Or I think of worst case scenario backwards.
Yeah.
And try and think of the best way to get there, you know, efficiently, effectively.
Yeah.
And
she'll
jump in the pool and hope there's water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's there's a good balance. Cause I think you need both.
Yeah.
To be able to see the full.
I'm very much in the clouds a lot of the time. And then, but I implement my ideas when they make sense, but Heidi's like, oh my God, like, she's right where you are as far as like lock stuff down. Have we done this? Is this going on? Like, you know, it's very important. Having that.
Hear a funny COVID story and we'll end on
I would love to. Yeah.
Matrimonial business balance rompergate.
Go for it. Mike looks impressed.
I was gasping for air.
COVID. 2020.
Yeah.
April. First. So we were in the midst of COVID. And as I was saying earlier, SOS has always had a website.
Yeah.
But it was more of a landing page where people would come, peruse it, and then come in the shop and shop.
Yeah.
And being brick and mortar, that's always been our focus.
Yeah.
So
as a catalog more than a.
Right. Than a purchase. Yeah, right.
So when it went off, it went off. And it was just me for the most part running it.
Yeah.
So it went cuckoo bananas. But again, it's COVID. We're trying to think, okay, what can we do? We need to sell stuff. That's what we do at the end of the day.
Yeah.
What are people going to want? And so I'm like, rompers. I have these rompers and I'll do a small discount because I know people, that's what they need right
yeah.
now. It's not about revenue extraction. It's about audience attention. I want to be there for them.
Right.
What can I offer them? Right. That's always the question.
Smash and test romper, right?
Smash and test romper.
My wife's obsessed.
Right. So
she doesn't stop talking about
it. Sale, right. And it like clear it. We sell out. It goes.
Yeah.
Bananas.
Yeah.
So at the same time, the world is burning around us. Everything's shut down. In our world, when we got goods in January, so the bills come due March.
Mm-hmm.
So thank God Mike deals with that under the business. So
yeah.
He's dealing with the bill collectors, right? Everybody's coming in for their
yes.
goods.
Yep.
And meanwhile, I go and order about 3 times more rompers than I previously had.
So Mike's having a panic attack.
Well, I'm doing all the finances, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at all the numbers and I know what's coming in because we get updates every day on our phones and all that kind of stuff. So I see the numbers rolling in and I'm like, well, yeah, like you had some good sales. That's great. But it's still 20% of what we normally sell on a normal day. Like it we were getting, when the doors are open, we got hit with 80% down. And it, I'm sitting there having credit managers from all over the world call me going, when are we getting paid? And I'm going, listen, man, there's nothing coming in.
Yeah.
And there's enough coming in for us to like,
sure,
you know, run it for the two of us for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But we're not making money.
Yeah.
And then she comes out with this order and I see a confirmation come over the phone and
I almost didn't have a black bear because I almost threw it. Like, it came in and it was a huge order. And I was like, have you lost your fucking mind? Like,
yeah,
we don't have the money to pay for this right now. And she goes, I'll sell them all. I'll sell them all. And when they sell, then we'll have the money. And then it'll pay some of the other bills. And I was like, I can't believe, like, because
we've been getting along so well. There's a point in COVID, maybe you experienced this too. You're like, you kind of fall back in love again. Like, you're like,
oh, sure.
Right? Like,
yeah.
You're home and you're just trying to get by and everything.
Yes.
And, you know,
you're coming together.
And then that day happened.
And then you weren't coming.
And then you weren't. Like, it was like,
I started drinking early.
So mad, like, not talking mad.
Yes.
Where you're just like, I can't even do it. But I knew it was a risk worth taking. And I'm like, this is what people want right now. And I need to give it to them. And I need to be present. And this is still our job. As an entrepreneur, we still need to take these risks.
You got lucky.
No, it wasn't luck. It was a calculated risk that I knew that was worth taking.
Yeah,
But that's always the fun.
She knew there was water in the pool that time.
I did know there was water in the pool. I did.
But she ended up selling them, which was great. She ended up selling them, which was awesome. But
yeah,
like, I was looking at it from the, we have to pay. So if it doesn't work.
Yes.
So my thought process is always worst case scenario, right?
Yeah.
That's how I have to process things.
Same.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, well, if we don't, now you've just added this amount to the bottom line of what we already owe the rest of the world.
Yes.
The products that got shipped before we got locked down.
Yeah.
And everybody's calling for that money.
Yeah.
And now you've just added another huge
amount
that
on there.
But then she sold it, which I was like, that's great. And it,
yeah,
you know,
were the mood boxes born from COVID? Was that
no, it was before.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was January. Yes, I had purchased for them, I was set to launch it, and I was going to do spring, and then COVID hit in spring. And I remember talking, well, I talked to Mike about it, and Brian Sage, who does all the creative, images, he's brilliant,
he's like,
yeah.
Did you follow him?
I've seen some of his stuff.
It's insane.
Very cool.
He is, so I like took a phone call. Nobody
his brain works.
Calls,
yeah,
right?
Right.
His brain works a different way than
does
people's
it?
Brains.
Yeah.
He creatively gets to things and has a full breakdown of the explanation of why they're. And you listen, you're like,
brilliant.
You're right. That
yeah.
is it.
Yeah.
Like, you got there. I don't know how or
finding
how
someone like that. Is
he can
wow.
articulate
oh,
it so
amazing.
Well.
Great.
He's so fucking smart. And then his art is so good.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Oh, man. He's a. That dude's a full package, and he's a beautiful human.
Yeah.
Oh, he thought, this is it. He's like, call me.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. And I remember I was sitting on the bedroom floor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do? Like, I don't have to do it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm also so passionate about this, and I think it's a great idea. And we just kind of talked through it. He's like, people still need retail therapy. People need something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want it, they don't have to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But give them the opportunity.
And mm-hmm.
it's still, you know, what was the word going around? Tone deaf. As long as it's not tone deaf, because, you know, we saw a lot of things coming in at
right.
the time that were.
Right.
So that was the buzzword. And I was like, no, it's literally like just these items that I've already curated.
Things that make sense in there, yeah.
That makes sense for spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so after talking it through, and I decided the best way to get my message out, which has been video, was just turn to video and just say, mm-hmm. hey, look, guys, I've created this thing. I did it back in January. I was going to launch it in March. I'm super stoked about it.
Yep.
If you want it, cool. If not, I don't know. That's fine too. But
it's yeah, what's but happening. But it's there.
But it's there. If you
yeah.
want it. It sold out in 3 minutes. And
tell me about it. My wife.
It was awesome.
She's like.
I know. It was so great. And what was really, really beautiful that came out of it is people message saying it felt really special to get something during that time.
Sure.
It was a dark time for a lot of people.
Yep.
It was scary. And again, because it was hard as an entrepreneur being asking ourselves, are people still buying? Are people still spending?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were some people.
Why
sure.
do they need it?
Why do
and
they need
we,
it?
We were thinking more function going.
Totally.
Why would someone buy this right now? They don't need it.
Yeah.
But then we forgot the element of people need it for their hearts, not their daily lives.
They want to feel some normalcy a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did your wife feel receiving? Like, what were her emotions?
Oh, she loves all your stuff, but she loved that, like getting that, you know, something you can unbox and some cool things in there, and it, you know, it brightens your day.
Totally.
Right. And that's important. It was like my character stuff ramped up because it was Mother's Day, Father's Day. And that ramped up for me, which kept me afloat, was just like making people feel great.
Yeah.
and being able to provide that during that time and drop offs and pickups, whatever. That's what it became about.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Emotional, it's still about connection.
Yeah.
And
it makes you feel like, oh shit, okay, I'm still doing something. I'm still putting stuff out there, still feeling good. Like, cause yeah, just take a dive for a bit there. So,
oh, yeah, like if you need to, if you're one who creates, you need to keep creating,
gotta,
whatever that looks like.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't care. Yeah. As long as I was making something, I was happy. So,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yes.
And then it's neat to see how it's grown, because then with the summer box.
Yeah, you just released a new one. You have another one coming.
I just dropped fall yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And with the summer, why are you laughing?
Yeah. Just dropping fall, September 22nd.
Yeah. Coming out
beat
hot.
The box.
This wasn't supposed to be a plug, but what I was going to say is, again, that emotion, it's interesting because it's like your art. It's emotional. There's something visceral, right?
Yep.
And same when people are buying this, they're getting together with their girlfriends and opening it. And I just think that's really neat.
Yeah.
Socially distanced with masks.
Right. Masks. Yes. Unless they're in your bubble now.
Unless they're in their bubble.
Yeah. But it's like this solidarity t-shirt that you do. Like, people have this, it's not even, it's retail therapy in a sense. Like, it's just something that makes you happy.
Sure.
You could be at $6 coffee. Let's
face
whatever.
It, that's all we're here to do.
Yeah.
All we're here to do is give people an escape for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And if buying a shirt makes them feel better, then who are we to say?
Then do it.
Yeah. Like, do your thing.
And
if it doesn't make you happy, then stop doing it.
Then just don't do it. Yeah. Yeah. And there's people now, to be honest, who aren't really affected too much. Like, there's still people out there who are working.
Yeah,
and there's still like, there's some businesses that are still running virtually without a blip, and so people are able to still go out and get stuff and support other businesses. And so luckily there's still a lot of that going on.
Think of the growth too of some businesses, right?
Like, oh my God. I was thinking about Zoom to begin with. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like,
like no one had heard of them before this.
No.
And then all of a sudden we're like typing in, what's Zoom? And
yeah.
How do I use it?
Well, I think people had free versions. Then they started paying because they're going to use it so much. So then, can you imagine? Craziness. I guess we'll end it there. What did I have? Oh, but I did have one more. So you don't have to say, but is there like a next venture or something else you have in mind that you're going to create?
You do.
Yeah.
Not to talk, but
Yeah, you don't have to say, but
I think Mike's on the next stage of his career.
No, I'm already, we're working on some things right now, building through this, which was funny. We got a lot of calls from a lot of shops saying they're looking to pivot and looking to do some new things. And it's kind of made us look at our inner circle of friends and the people that we have close to us that we are going to start doing like a retail consulting agency where if shops want to call us and go, listen, I need to bump up. I need to try and figure out how to grow. And I need to, can you come and look at our store?
So you can bring in your team of
branding.
That's wicked.
Like we have, obviously we have graphic design people. We have digital marketers. We have copywriters. We have construction guys.
Yeah.
We have, you know, we've got all these things. And then plus 20 years of retail, we've got experience that I can look back and go, we can hopefully help people. So, I mean, we haven't put it out there.
Yeah.
But we've got 3 or 4 people that have already reached out from stores in other towns going, we like what you're doing. Will you help us do what you're doing?
Yeah.
So that just is turning into another little like side project that we, you know, after 20 years of making mistakes.
Yes.
I think the thing we can offer is just like, we can help you draw the line from A to B a little bit straighter.
Yeah.
And you can avoid all the dips and all the falls and the pitfalls because we've already done them. And like after 20 years with an English degree, we've made a lot of errors.
Yeah.
But we've learned from them all. So I mean, now we can kind of draw that line a little straighter, and
that's wicked.
So we're in the development stages. We've built it. We're just putting kind of our decks together right now, things that we can offer people. And then we've got some guys that we're talking to, so we'll probably be helping some shops out.
That's so good.
I'm sitting here smirking because Mike is saying we, and it's, yes, he has a team of people, but this is he.
Yeah.
He has built this. he is humble, and I know he has an idea in his head, so definitely something is going to happen.
That's exciting. That see, great exciting. Things are born from times like these.
Well, and
right, it's so great.
I've been asked for speaking engagements, which for the past couple of years I've been hoping and working towards, and now that's kind of happening.
So cool.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Like big ones too.
Yeah, some good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
International Shoe Show.
It's they've changed the name to the Apparel and Footwear Association.
That's wicked.
Yeah. That work and so yeah, it, again, it's really interesting to see what has come out of difficult times.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think if you're constantly moving and creating,
I think that's a really good takeaway is just don't stop moving. Just keep going.
Stop moving and you're dead.
You're dead.
Yeah.
It was not a time to sit down and cry. You could for a moment and drink some wine and eat some ice cream.
Yes.
We did that for a week.
Maybe a little bit of that. Yeah.
I saw all the new Star Wars characters and they're not that great.
No.
You had to keep moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's the only way you grow.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. And we did about almost an hour and a half.
It's a long one.
Yeah, and I appreciate your time. You guys are busy. And congrats on all the success and the anniversary today too. So hopefully you get to do something special today. Yes.
Can't take booze to go.
Please do, because if not, you know, anyway, someone will finish it off for sure. And thanks, Publican. We didn't drink your beer this morning, but we'll have one later. And thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good one. We'll be right back.